Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. All right. Welcome, everyone. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an inner intelligence coach, and I am thrilled to have Matthew Gray here with me today. Matthew, welcome.
Aloha, Maria. Thank you for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, aloha. You're in Hawaii, right?
Yeah. And that's what we have to say. It's by law. It's in the small print. You have to say aloha instead of hi or hello.
I think that's wonderful. All right. So to start with, tell us a bit about you.
Well, you know, I'm endlessly curious. I'm a professional chef by training, and I'm an all-around great fun guy with a lot of wonderful directional kind of information I can share with the universe.
That is wonderful. I love that description. Great. All right. So to start out with, tell us about a time in your life when you faced a ton of mind cluck.
I was writing restaurant reviews for the Honolulu Advertiser newspaper, which was the largest daily newspaper in the state. And that was in the late 1990s into the early 2000s. And I had the best job in the world, or so people said, that I was being paid to eat. I would go out, I would go to restaurants, I'd then go home and I'd email my restaurant review to the newspaper. So people thought there was nothing more ultimate than that. But I got a little bit tired of that because my inner calling was saying, Matthew, start a new business and call it Hawaii Food Tours, where I had an opportunity to feed, educate, and entertain people every single day. And so I did that. Everybody in my world said, well, that sounds odd. I've never heard of that before. Wow. You know, that might be a tough thing. You're really going to leave this job to do that? And so the inner mind cluck was not only inner because of what people were feeding into me, but it also became kind of an external wall that I had to fight past. I had to follow my heart and my intuition and get this baby started. So what became a great job with the newspaper became a 25-hour-a-day job for 16 years with Hawaii Food Tours.
Wow, that's amazing. So tell us, in that situation, what were the things you did to quiet your mind so that you could actually go on to start Hawaii Food Tours?
You know, it's difficult to disregard what people are telling you, but I think that somewhere along the line, you have to learn either to identify the people you want to listen to or just kind of focus and pay attention to your own inner guidance. And that's what I was able to do. So, you know, did I have some reservations about starting a new business that had never been done before? Or actually, there was one other food tour company in the United States. It was in San Francisco. So I reached out to the lady who runs that. And she said, you know, right on. That's really cool that you're doing that. Mm-hmm. And so she kind of, in a way, became my food tour mentor for that stage of my life. And so I learned how to disregard a lot of the cruft and a lot of the garbage that was coming in. And I sidestepped that and just followed my own creative source.
That's amazing. So one thing you did was basically find a mentor. What else did you do? Because I mean, all of us have people in our lives that matter to us. And I think, I know from my own experience as an entrepreneur, people want to protect you because they're like, oh, that sounds so scary, because it's something they would never do in a million years. Mm-hmm. And so it's harder for them to be supportive because they can't really put themselves in your shoes.
Right.
So what else helped you disregard the opinions that were coming at you? Because I think this is something that everybody struggles with. Doesn't matter if you're starting a business or any big decision you have in your life, those opinions kind of coming at us can be so difficult to manage.
Yeah, I was very highly unemployable, so I didn't like working for other people, and I knew that, and I already had that experience and that kind of upbringing and education that I was going to call my own shots and I was going to do everything that I wanted to do. So, part of moving forward was being able to do just that, was to just keep on working and working at it and making all the marketing efforts and the hustle efforts and all of those things. So I kind of started from a place of wanting to do only what I wanted to do and not being willing or able to work for someone else, so to speak. I didn't want to be a functionary in life. I wanted to be a trailblazer. And so that was a big part of my thoughts.
And can you give us an example of like someone's opinion and sort of what you did with it? Like, was it literally just disregarding it, or did you, was there some sort of process to say, okay, I'm thinking of this opinion and I'm deciding I agree with it, I don't agree with it? Like, what was your process there?
Well, in that phase, when I was so opening up Hawaii Boo Tours in 2004, I remember my editor coming up to me, and this is someone who I really admired. She, brilliant woman, a fantastic writer, knows everything in life. But she said something to me that still sticks to my mind right now, and it was like, we'll never become millionaires. And I think that, even though it was kind of a negative energy input, I was able to kind of turn that around and say, oh yeah, I'm going to go for it. And so, sometimes you need a little bit of fuel to fuel that fire and that flame. And that really helped me. I just, for the entire like 16 to 20 years that we were doing the Hawaii Boo Tours, I kept using that and thinking about what Wanda told me early on in that stage. And I just kept that in the back of my mind the whole time. And so when it's your baby and it's something that's your creation, you don't mind working at it, even if it's, way more than a full-time job. And as you know, when you're working for yourself, you don't punch a clock. You just keep on working to make it happen.
That's so true. I like that idea of using what you could call a negative opinion or an opinion that is in could be interpreted to be discouraging as motivation. So that's something, but I think in order to actually really recognize that, like you've got to be in tune with your own intuition, with your own, wise self that's saying, no, you can do this. Like you want to do this. Did you feel that? Did you feel like you were really connected with your intuition and that helped you tune out other opinions that weren't useful to you?
Intuition is a fantastic thing, but sometimes it comes off as a bit airy-fairy. And so, I was just very persistent, very determined, and I wanted to do this, and that was what was driving me. So it wasn't like I kept on consulting my inner being, my inner Matthew, and the inner chef to make it happen. It's just like I put my butt on the line and I worked it. And that's been always the secret to my success. It's no great internal wisdom or anything. It's just like, when I set my mind to something, I'm able to succeed. And that's really what it was. And did I refer to what people said in the past? You bet. But I think, going way, way back, my mom was always really supportive and she wanted me to follow whatever it is that I was going to do. And so she gave me that input. So I think a lot of what your primary caretakers give you when you're growing up is part of what sets your direction and reduces the drag on life if you've been given that information early on.
I think that's absolutely true. I think there are plenty of people though who don't get that direction. And that's where I'm a big believer in tuning in and paying attention to what do I really think about this? And it sounds like you did do that. You just don't call it that. Because I think
Right.
for anyone to be successful, it's like you've got some kind of driving force inside of you that gives you the confidence, that gives you the drive, that gives you the security to pursue what you want to pursue. And I think people call this all kinds of different things. But what it is that you are listening to your own self as more than you're listening to the naysayers out there that are trying to keep you safe and prevent you from jumping off this cliff, which, to you, it's like, okay, this is a big undertaking, but I'm going to find a mentor. I'm going to learn everything I need to learn, and I'm going to do it.
I think that that's perfectly right, Maria. I think that, finding a mentor might not be something that comes natural for people, but, I'm here for anybody who needs some help in like being able to go from that creative self to the business self. It's hard to kind of fuse the two. And a lot of artists who begin out having in their life having these great ideas, they don't know how to execute them into a business realm. And so, if anybody needs help, I'm happy to do that. And if I can help the next person along the line, that's really the best thing that you can do.
That's wonderful. So, in your day-to-day life now, whenever your mind clock starts clucking at you, what do you do? Do you have practices that you follow, or what's your what's tell our audience some of the things that you have found successful for you?
To help reduce anxiety, you mean, for
Yeah,
instance?
reducing anxiety. Like, so mind clock, it's anxiety, it's stress, it's anger, it's strong emotion. I mean, you can put almost anything into the category of mind clock, but it's essentially like when your mind is telling you things that are making you feel awful.
The thing that I do that's easiest, and that's something that I can teach everyone right now who's listening to us and watching us, is just a simple breathing technique. It's simply to take an inhalation, big deep breath, but then when you exhale, exhale for 1 second longer than your inhale was. So if you take a breath for 5 seconds in, make sure you exhale for 6 seconds out. And that's all you have to do, and that will immediately shift your mind into a quieter, easier place. Your engine won't run so fast, and that's the first, easiest, best way to get towards mindfulness and breathing in a more efficient way to relax yourself.
Yeah, breath work is so powerful. What else? What other techniques do you use?
Daydreaming. Wandering in my mind, if energy is coming at me and I don't want to engage, I don't engage. I just think to myself about what I'd like to do next, what's on my plate, and where I'm going. And so a lot of it is being able to tune in and tune out. Tuning out is really important, especially when you have screens and devices and everything that's in your face constantly, 24 hours a day. It's good to kind of think about your own thing, your own style, and what your next step is going to be.
Do you have particular activities that you do that help you tune out?
I eat really well, and so
I
I
bet.
that really, really helps. When you're on the right kind of lifestyle, what happens is your mind slows down and becomes more clear. Your body doesn't ache anymore. And the things that happen to you when you're eating well, you don't have these day-to-day like nod-offs where people nod off in the afternoon and need a rest or a nap or whatever like that. So I think that eating the right things is probably the best way to go to be able to help center yourself.
Oh, that's really good. I find that I'm with you on having the ability to tune out and to daydream. And what I do is I incorporate that into sort of day-to-day activities. So like when I'm doing the dishes, I daydream. I know lots of people who listen to podcasts, and of course I'm going to recommend doing that,
They
but
should listen to this podcast
yeah.
every time they do their dishes.
Exactly. There you go. Because then you're just going to learn about mindfulness and it's really going to help you.
Right.
But I think that you can think about, so like when you're brushing your teeth, you can think about the things you do automatically that are just a part of your day. And that's a time to set your mind free, as opposed to brushing your teeth and worrying or running through your to-do list. Instead, you can be like, okay, I'm going to relax my mind and I'm going to let it go where it wants to go.
I think that that's great advice. So many of us are overthinkers, and so getting away from overthinking any sort of a proposition or situation or something that you've encountered by doing just what you said, get into the daydream, think about what's next on your plate or next on your task list, but enjoy the process, savor the moment. When you're eating, savoring food is really important and not just stuffing it into your mouth. And when you're brushing your teeth, making sure that you're doing a good job with that. And Everything requires thought, because when you're in a mindless place, you're going to do mindless things, you're going to be forgetful, you'll make the wrong turns, and you'll find yourself getting gas 15 miles away when you could just go 5 blocks away.
Yeah, that I was talking with someone on the podcast who's a hypnotist, and she talked about how a lot of us spend a lot of our days hypnotized because we're operating on automatic pilot. So it's almost like a form of hypnosis. So like you could be driving somewhere and you kind of look up and you're there and you're like, oh wow, I don't even really remember the process of getting here.
Yeah, you
But
know,
go
you don't
ahead.
want to be you don't want to be hypnotized. You want to be able to be in the moment, and that's through thought and the processes that go into that. So being hypnotized in life is no good. I find myself going, wow, look at that. I'm just like totally plugged into whatever on the screen, and I try to snap myself out of it and get back onto my trail, my rail, or my lane. Now that is that's what they call it, the lane. But you know, I've had plenty of failures, and I think that failures, when you get kicked in the butt and you fall on your face, you know, if you can come back from those things, that's really going to build your character. And I think that that's why, you know, I'm ancient, so I've learned a lot of lessons. But there are a lot of people who are young and people in your audience who are afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to fail. You know, be accepting, be willing to fail, because that's how you'll get to the next step, which will be bigger and better.
Yeah, I agree. I think our society is so programmed to, you know, I mean, I think it goes hand in hand with like, don't take too many chances. So stay in the job, stay in the relationship, stay where you live, because if you try something else, you might fail. And the truth is, if you try something else, you might reach a whole other level of fulfillment. And so being willing to take some risk and actually really tune into what you want and go for it, as opposed to following some path that's already been set out by society.
Yeah, following a path is good if you're really plugged in with the path, but if you're not, you're just doing it for a buck or to, you know, pay the rent. I get that too. There have been times in my life when I haven't been able to pay the rent, but I kept on following forward with the things that I wanted to do and the thoughts and the dreams that I had. So there were times when those things happen and you really have to kind of buckle down and keep it together. But then stepping forward into the new venture and then working it and consulting people you trust and doing all those kind of things are definitely going to help you get to the next level.
Do you have other things that you do regarding mind clock, other ways that you quiet your mind?
I quiet my mind now. Since March of 2020, when my business was crushed by COVID after a 16-year successful run, I got to feed, educate, and entertain people from all over the world. Some of my best friends are people who were on my tour during 2004 and 2020. So now, when I have the mind clock come up, I just have kind of pivoted myself into a place of helping people. So whether it's helping young entrepreneurs or people who may be suffering from health-related issues, because I would think that about half of our audience right now is either obese or diabetic or pre-diabetic or something along those lines, or even worse. And I believe now, after being a chef and having so much scientific knowledge and background about food and health and nutrition, that helping people helps get rid of my mind cluck. So I have a couple of different people that I'm working with now, and more are coming aboard who are having issues with their health. And I say, I think I can fix that. I think I can help you. And so when I'm helping somebody, I'm kind of like in my place. And that's when my mind cluck goes away, because I'm focusing on you. I'm helping you, and I want to hear the results. And so that is really what I'm doing. So that would be considered my pivot from 2020 until now, and probably for the years to come.
That's wow. Well, so first, I'm so sorry that the pandemic wiped out your business. That's horrible. But what an incredible pivot. And extrapolating that out a little bit to our audience, you can think about the fact that anytime you help somebody, so say you bring in a neighbor's trash cans, or you somebody's ill and you bring them a meal, or you help out in any kind of way, it does silence your mind clock. Because we all, I think that everybody likes to give. Maybe some people like to give more than others, but I think everyone gets a good feeling from doing that. And so to if you're feeling, if your mind's really going crazy, think about like, okay, who in my life right now could I help in some way? And it changes your focus and it puts you onto a better plane.
It really does. When you take yourself out of the foreground and you help other people, it changes the image. I mean, that's both literally and figuratively. So when I'm feeling a lot of that mind cluck, as you call it, I just take myself out of the foreground, think about who I can help, how I can help, what I next need to do, whether it's to write a blog or make a phone call. You know, phone calls are not so easy anymore. Not like in the old days where you'd pick up the phone and you'd call somebody. Now you call someone and they go, "What the heck are you doing? I've got a text." It's like, it's
Right.
so weird. And before that is like you go to someone's house and you knock on the door and say, "Can Maria come out and play?" You know, it's like people don't do that anymore. It's like we're kind of like bogged down by the whole society of the way the culture is right now. So I try to break
Yeah.
through that a little bit and keep that high touch, face-to-face communication alive, if at all possible.
I think that's wonderful. This happened to me a couple weeks ago. I got up, I was just having a bad day. And I have a number of inspirational things that I, you know, sites and whatnot that I go to. And I just happened to read this article that said, you know, reach out to someone, have lunch, take a walk, do something. And I was sitting there and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I study this stuff. I worked on this for, you know, 30 years and I'm sitting here feeling bad and there's an easy solution. Just reach out.
Yeah, you know, in the years that they call BC before COVID, things like that were a lot easier. But now everybody is behind their walls and behind their doors, and you know, everyone is kind of like trying to protect themselves. And there's still that energy going on, even though we're coming out of it. There's still that energy there. So at least reach out in whatever way you can, whether it's, you know, the text or the phone call. I don't suggest going and knocking on someone's door because most people won't answer the door for a lot of people. And I
That's
guess
true.
people don't even pick up the phone nowadays. I find myself not picking up the phone if I don't recognize the
Yeah.
incoming phone call.
Sure.
So yeah, you got to do whatever you can do. Get yourself out of the foreground and you start to forget about all your troubles and woes, or at least a good portion of them.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, I understand what you're saying about COVID and that changing the way people are interacting, but you can always take a walk outside. You know, if anyone has concern about germs, like if you're walking outside and you don't have to worry about that so much. And often just the act of sending a text to someone and just being like, hey, I'm thinking about you. Who doesn't like to get a text like
Exactly.
that?
When there's no quid pro quo involved, it's just like you saying, "Hey, I'm thinking about you," and that's that. That's a really, really nice gesture. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll just pop on my headphones and I'll listen to one of my favorite podcasts, and I'll sit on the recumbent exercise bike, and just for an hour, I'll just go ahead and exercise and just be listening to some good information, good
Yeah.
input. Good input in means good input out. So I've always been a fan of talk radio, and I've been doing it for many, many, many years. And so that's what I love to do. I love to hear wonderful people and wonderful podcasts like yours, who people are speaking to each other in a good way. And I pick up a little bit every time I listen to someone else.
Yeah, it's such a neat. I think podcasts are, I mean, I understand it's like radio, but it's like it's such a neat thing that you can talk to people all over the world and I think everyone has something interesting to share. Everyone has a slightly different perspective and we can all learn from each other.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So true. And I'm hoping that people are getting a lot out of this today. And I know that your show, it's so good that, you know, I'm going to
Thank
find
you.
myself listening to your programs a lot more as I do my exercise.
Good, I sure hope so. Thank you. Well, we are getting to the end of our time, and so I wanted to ask if there's any last things that you'd like to tell our audience.
If people like to travel, if any of you really dig traveling, I have just released a book called The Ultimate Eater's Guide to Hawaii. And if you're
Oh,
interested in
great.
getting that, I can help you with that. If you're looking at kind of taking your artistic self into the next realm of being an entrepreneur, I can help with that. So I just want to actually just offer myself to you and your audience, if there's anything at all that my lifelong wisdom can help you with for your next step. I really want to make myself available for that.
That's wonderful. We will have links for Matthew in our show notes for everyone. And so thanks so much. Thank you for being on here today, Matthew, and thanks for everything you've shared.
Oh, Maria, what a great fun time this has been. So thanks so much. And I'll say aloha to you, which means hello, and it means goodbye, and it means love. There are a lot of different meanings for aloha, so I'm sending that to you right now.
All right, and I'm sending it back, aloha.
Thanks.
And to our audience, aloha. Thank you. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.